This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Progress. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abayim. Nice to see everybody. Parshas Kiseitse, Bruchim Abayim to the Kailal Agra de Perka. We have a very important subject today. We're headed toward the Yom HaNoraim, and like we always say, ready or not, you know, they're fast approaching. And even though we're still in the summer, we're in the dog days of August, but the days of Elul are passing by. When the Aseret Yemei Teshuva begin, we offer the Tefillah, Avinu Malkeinu, Zachreinu L'Zechuyos, we say, Kasveinu B'Sefer HaZechuyos, number one on the sheet. Kasveinu B'Sefer HaZechuyos. The Rosh Yeshiva of Kelm, Rav Daniel Movshevitz, who I don't know a lot about his personal life, although I know I do like his first name, Rav Daniel Movshevitz, would ask the following question. How can we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, write us in the Book of Merit, HaKoyel Bidei Shamayim Chutz Miyira Shamayim? What do you mean God write us in the Book of Merit? You want merit? Go do mitzvahs. And if you don't do mitzvahs, there's nothing God could do for you. There's one thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu retracts from. Hashem controls everything in this world. The weather, the economy, health, even your sports team. Everything is controlled by God. There's only one thing He doesn't control, and that is your mitzvahs, umasim tovim, and averos. But when it comes to right and wrong, that's a person's free choice. So how could you say, Kasveinu b'sefer zechuyos? If we do mitzvahs, then we'll be written in the Book of Merit. If we don't do mitzvahs, then chas v'shalom, we will not be written in the Book of Merit. Now, we're still in the beginning of Elul, and we're reading this week Parshas Kiseitse. And Parshas Kiseitse has more mitzvahs in this week's Parsha than any other Parsha in the Torah. There are more mitzvahs in Kiseitse than any Parsha in the Torah. How many mitzvahs are there? There are 74 mitzvahs in this week's Parsha. Ayin Dalet, Gematria Eid. Just like in Kriya Shema, we have the big Ayin, the big Dalet, as testimony to the unity of God. So too, in this week's parasha, we have Ayin Dalet mitzvahs. And the Sefer Sifsei Tzadik points out that the reason why there are more mitzvahs in this week's parasha than any other parasha is because we know there's a principle. When you learn about a carbon oila, it's like you brought an oila. When you learn about a shlamim, it's like you brought a shlamim. So before the Yom HaDin, Hashem wants to be mezakeh us with many, many zechuyos. So therefore, Hashem gives us more mitzvahs to learn about in this week so that we could accrue to our benefit, to our record, more mitzvahs than any other week. So it's important to pay close attention to all the details of this week's parsha. And in that case, if there are more mitzvahs in Kiseitse than any other parsha, then probably this week's parsha has something to tell us about the proper way in which we perform mitzvahs. Let's begin this subject with an astounding halacha. We know if somebody kills b'shoigeg, chas v'shalom, someone's pulling out of the driveway, and instead of pressing on the gas, instead of thinking their car is in drive, their car is in reverse. And Hashem yishmereinu, lo yaleinu. Somebody kills someone b'shoigeg. So the halacha is they have to run away to the Arei Miklat. In the interim, their life is in danger. Why is their life in danger? The Goyal Hadam, the avenger of blood, a relative of the victim, is allowed to kill the murderer. And the halacha is, the murderer runs away to the Arei Miklat, and he remains there. And Einoy Yoytse Misham, he does not leave there. What about if he sees the new moon and he has to testify when Yom Tov is? No. What if he knows testimony about money? He knows he could uncover the Ponzi scheme. He could help the economy recover. No. What if he has testimony on a different capital offense? No. What if he's the general of the Jewish army and all of Israel is dependent on him? No. He can never leave. It says, Asher nas shama, sham tehe dirasai, there he should live. Sham tehe misasai, there he should die. Sham tehe kfurasai, there he should be buried. He may not leave ever, ever, ever. That's the halacha. Asher yanos shama, he runs away there. That is the halacha of Arei Miklat. Now, the question is that the Achronim ask, the million-dollar question, as we know, v'chai bohem, that nothing stands in the way of pikuach nefashais, that if somebody puts a gun to a Jew's head and says, "Wear the shatness, otherwise I'm going to shoot you," you got to put on the shatness. Speak lashon hara, otherwise I'm going to shoot. You got to speak the lashon hara. Somebody says, I don't know, talk during chazaras hashatz, otherwise I'm going to shoot. You know what? Under those circumstances, you could talk by chazaras hashatz. How a person, v'chai bohem, Jewish life, supersedes any mitzvah, except for the cardinal three. Therefore, ask the Tiferes Yisrael and other achroinim, how could the halacha be that if Klal Yisrael needs this person because he's a general of the Jewish army, and he could save Jewish lives, how could it be that he's required to stay in the Arei Miklat, but shouldn't his ability to save Jewish life supersede the command to remain in the Arei Miklat? That is the kasha of Tiferes Yisrael. He says, "Tmihani hare klal amrina derak shvichas damim avizor gedos rayas oimdim b'fnei pikuach nefashos." And don't say that's only averos are pushed away when it comes to a person's own life. But it's not true. We know you're allowed to desecrate averos to save another person's life. So why can't he leave the Arei Miklat to save a life? Comes of Shlomo HaKohen miVilna. And he says, V'chein la'anias dati nira. Lule de mistafina, I would say that it doesn't mean he's not allowed to leave. He is allowed to leave. Even though he's allowed to leave, it means that that doesn't exempt him from galus. Meaning, let's say he leaves Rabbi Isai to save the Jewish people. So you might think, okay, he was given a dispensation to leave. Now he could remain outside of the Arei Miklat. No, he has to get right back in as soon as he's finished doing what he needed to do. When the Gemara says that Eino Yoytse Misham L'Oilam, it means he doesn't permanently leave. That's what it means. Eino Yoytse Misham L'Oilam. He doesn't have, he can't take a indeterminate absence. Rather, he could leave, of course, to save Jewish lives, but he better get right back there as soon as his job is over. That's how the Cheshek Shloimei learns. The Ar Sameach has a wondrous approach over here. There's a bit of a controversial point whether a person is obligated to risk their life to save another Jew. Is a person obligated to risk their life to save another Jew? Is a person obligated to risk their life to save another Jew? And, you know, here's an afkamina. You know, there's a major subject of organ donation. Now, maybe today, or likely today, it's perhaps not dangerous, but I think even today there it does pose a risk to the donor. Are you obligated to risk your life to save another Jew? And it seems like the Beis Yosef brings, the Kesef Mishnah brings, that it's a machloikis. It's a machloikis between the Yushalmi and the Bavli. The Yushalmi says you are indeed obligated. You're not obligated to give up your life to save another Jew, but you're obligated to risk your life to save another Jew. And some Achroinim bring that the Bavli disagrees, that you're not obligated to risk your life to save another Jew. And we basically paskin, friends, a person is not obligated to risk their life to save another life. But the question is, where in the Bavli does it say you're not obligated to risk your life to save another life? And the Ar Sameach suggests is this Gemara. Because if this guy is going to leave the Arei Miklat to save Jewish lives, is the Goyel Hadam allowed to kill him? You bet. Those are the rules. You stay inside, you're safe. You leave the confines of the Arei Miklat, you're taking your life in your own hands. So the Goyel Hadam is allowed to kill him. So therefore, says our Sameach, the reason he's not allowed to leave the Arei Miklat is because he's endangering his life. And hence, what the Bavli is saying is a person's not obligated to risk their life to save another Jew. This is the rationale why you're not obligated to leave the Arei Miklat. The reason why we tell the general, don't leave the Arei Miklat to save lives, is because he's endangering his own life. Because the Goyel Adam could kill him. And then we see from here that one is not obligated to risk their life to save another Jew. But we would like to present today an astounding approach of why someone who kills B'shoigeg cannot leave the Arei Miklat, even if it means, even if he's someone who is a general and he could save Jewish lives. Marv Rabbeisai, we are all familiar with the teaching of Pirkei Avos, Mitzvah Goyreres Mitzvah. In Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Beis, Ben Azay Yomer, have a rutz lemitzvah kala kechamura. Run to do a small mitzvah like a great mitzvah. Why? Shem mitzvah goyreres mitzvah. One mitzvah draws another mitzvah. Va'avera goyreres avera. And one avera draws another avera. Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward of a mitzvah is another mitzvah. Uschar avera avera. And the reward of one avera is another avera. Okay. And the Medrash brings down, what's the source of this? The source is this week's parsha. How so? It says in this week's parsha, you're going to go out to war. You're going to see a beautiful woman in captivity. Hashem says, even though I allow you to take her, nevertheless, I don't want her to find favor in your eyes. Make her disgusting. You're going to end up marrying her. You're going to have a Ben Sora Moira. Then there's going to be someone, the kid's going to be eligible for a death penalty. Oh, we see Avera Gereres Avera. However, Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah. You're going to chance upon a bird's nest. From that, you're going to be able to build a new house. From that, and you're going to build a fence around the house. Then you're going to have a vineyard and you're not going to plant it klayim. Then you're going to have a field and you're not going to plow an ox and a donkey together. And then you're going to make tzitzis for yourself. Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah. And Rashi brings down these inyanim in this week's parsha, that taking the Eishes Yifas Toyer is going to lead to Ben Sora Moira, is going to lead to Mishpat Moves. Rashi also brings down that if you build a new house, if you're Mekayim Shiluach HaKein, you're going to build a new house, you're Mekayim the Mitzvah Makkah, Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah, and it's going to... reach your vineyard, your field, your clothing, and you're going to move up and up and up with more and more opportunities to Mekayim Mitzvah. So the source of Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah are the juxtaposition of the various subject matters discussed in Parshas Ki Tse. So let's begin to discuss the rationale. Why is a Mitzvah Gereres another Mitzvah? Why is that? And Rabbeinu Yoina offers us a number of reasons. He says, when a person does a small mitzvah, ki ba'asai sa'adu mitzvah ketana pamachas, hu miskorei ves Hashem, he brings God close, and he trains his spirit to do avodas Hashem, and it becomes easy to do another mitzvah, that maybe the second mitzvah has a little bit more tircha than the first mitzvah. But once you've trained yourself to go out of your way, let's say 9 points to do a mitzvah, then it will be easier the next time if a mitzvah comes up that requires an effort of 10 points. You'll say, well, you know, I'm already accustomed to doing that. And then when you do a second mitzvah, that will make it easier to do a third mitzvah that might be even more difficult. Basically, Rabbi Isai, it's like a weight training. You know, you start off, you lift 10 pounds, then 20 pounds, then 30 pounds. I'll give you an example. You tell somebody who's unaffiliated, okay, who's Sfardi? You say, okay, starting now, you have to wake up every morning an hour before Shacharis with Slichos and then davening. Huh? He's used to waking up 20 minutes before he has to go to work. He has breakfast and he leaves. Now he has to wake up 2.5 hours before. It's very difficult. So mitzvah gereres mitzvah is basically chinuch, where okay, I'm already used to giving of myself and sacrificing certain comforts and certain conveniences for avodas Hashem and for service of Hashem. So the next time when slichas comes, okay, it's just a bit earlier. You know, it's within reach. It's within grasp. It's not so distant. It's not so remote. That's the first inyan of mitzvah geireres mitzvah. Rabbeinu Yonah, by the way, explains the principle of schar mitzvah mitzvah. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nehi bedvarei.
Amen.
The Rabbeinu Yonah explains schar mitzvah mitzvah is as follows. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give a person the ability to do anything. Everything in this world is accomplished by God. We get up in the morning, God did it. We shake a lulav and esrog even, God did it. We put on tefillin, Hashem did it. We speak nice words, Hashem did it. We speak insulting words, Hashem did it. So then, what do we have to do with it? God gave us the ability to choose. U'bacharta b'chayim. Once we choose the path, whether it's good, then Hashem will be with you. And if you do the mitzvah, that mitzvah will assist you to do another mitzvah. Because otherwise, you don't have the ability to act and to accomplish and to achieve anything. Because a person's actions are from heaven. It's only the track that you put yourself on when you choose. So basically, when you're choosing a certain path, once you choose that path, God allows you to be placed in that path, and that path will bring you to more and more and more mitzvahs. Okay, let's explain this further. The Rabbi Yosef Gektilia, who's the author of the Shari Oiro, one of the classic works of Kabbalah. He wrote a sefer called Klalei HaMitzvos. And he says, actually, the mitzvos of the Torah are like a chain and a ladder, whether they're mitzvos aseh or mitzvos lois aseh. If you do one mitzvah, that mitzvah will literally lead you to the next. For example, it says, don't have improper herhurim in the day, and that will bring you to impurity in the night. Like Rav Pinchas ben Yair said, from here we see Zihiros brings to Zrizos, brings to Nekios. You hear the principle? An improper thought in the day will bring to defilement in the nighttime. But on the flip side, one mitzvah brings to another. Here's an example. The Gemara Menachah says that you see the mitzvah of tzitzis, it will bring you to other mitzvahs that are dependent on it. For example, when could you say Shema B'Shachris? When you could recognize between the tcheles and the lavan. Which means the mitzvah of tzitzis is like the rung which will lift you up to the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So in other words, the mitzvahs are like not an escalator, but an electronic ladder. That once you step on the first rung, that rung will then propel you up to the second rung. That's another idea of mitzvah, geireres mitzvah. So Rabbeinu Yonah learns that it's a psychological approach, a practical approach, where you're basically training yourself to give up of yourself for the sake of Hashem, and that will facilitate your ability to accomplish more mitzvahs. But then there's a Kabbalistic idea that each mitzvah is linked. Tzitzis is linked to Shema. By being Mekayim Tzitzis, it will bring you toward the recitation of Shema. The Chassid Yaivitz, Rabbi Yosef Yaivitz, by the way, this Yaivitz is not Rabbi Yaakov, and then Yaivitz stands for Yitain Eitza Be'es Tzara. He was one of the Gerushei Sefarad. He brings a wondrous idea that all the mitzvahs of Hashem, Kulam Keshurois Zubazoi, they're all tied to each other. Just like God is one, the Torah is one. Someone who says, I'll be Mekayim all the mitzvahs except for one, he's a mumar, because he's not accepting the corpus, the body of Torah. And he is included in Arur, Arur Asher Lo Yakim. There's a reason why we have 248 mitzvahs aseh keneged a person's limbs, and 365 mitzvahs lo aseh keneged a person's sinews, because all the mitzvahs are connected and tied. Memela, or as the Maral explains it, don't think that a mitzvah is a candle and the Torah is 613 candles. The Torah is not 613 candles. The Torah is one unit of light. This is what it means. Torah is Gematria 611. And with Anoichi and Lo Yelecha 613. The Torah is one. Memela, listen carefully. When a person accepts upon himself a mitzvah, he's accepting the entire Torah. Because he's grabbing a hold of one unit. If a person says, you know what, I'm going to embrace tzitzis. Ooh, you can embrace tzitzis, you're embracing the whole Torah. The example is, I'm picking up the bottle cap on top of the bottle. Oh, I'm just going to pick up the bottle cap, I'm going to pick up the bottle, I'm going to pick up the label around the bottle, because it's one entity. If a person embraces one mitzvah, the entire Torah comes along with it. The Torah is not 613 distinct segments. It's one corpus. It's kiner mitzvah. A mitzvah is a candle, but the Torah is not many candles. The Torah is light. It's all the candles together. Memela, if a person, you know, if somebody is far from Torah, a good eitzah is you tell them, okay, just be mekayim one mitzvah. They'll say, okay, which mitzvah? Say, pick an easy mitzvah. Okay, I'll put on a pair of tzitzis. Their life has changed. Because they're not just being mekayim tzitzis. They have just embraced the 613 without even knowing it. Because the Torah is one corpus of Matura. This is another inyan of mitzvah, goyreres, mitzvah. The Vilna Gaon has a Kabbalistic interpretation of this. He says something very interesting, something that often people have a hard time understanding. He says, one of the great mysteries of life is why people like to talk. That's the reality. People like to talk. He says that he doesn't understand. I understand people like to eat. It tastes good. There's a physical pleasure. There are other physical pleasures, we understand. So a person might like to eat, so he may even like to eat non-kosher food. A person might want to engage in certain pleasures, he might even engage in illicit pleasures. Because, okay, we can understand that, it feels good. But one thing we can understand is why people enjoy talking. A, it's a waste of time. B, I understand why people go to sleep. But why do people talk? They're sitting around the corner. What are they talking about? They're talking about the price of tuna fish. I mean, are you kidding me? You're not living longer because of it. You're not getting exercise out of it. You're not getting money out of it. You're not getting health out of it. You're not getting rest out of it. What are you getting out of, you know, yenting around? Talking about, oh, did you see the centerpieces at Feivel's Chasana? You know how much it cost? And right after that, they didn't even give it to a gemach. They threw it straight into the garbage. Where does he have all that money from? Yerusha that he had from his Elta Zeda, who was in the tuna fish business. I mean, they're talking and talking and talking and talking. Why are they talking? Says the Vilna Gaon, an amazing revelation. The Vilna Gaon teaches, mitzvah goyreres mitzvah. How does that work? Says the Gaon, when a person does a mitzvah, God sends an angel. And that angel is a certain, it creates a certain desire. Now that you've done the first mitzvah, you have a desire to satisfy this need that the angel that was sent to you has engendered, where you have no rest and respite and menucha until you fulfill a bigger mitzvah. And then when you do the bigger mitzvah, God sends another ruach mimaraim, and this ruach mimaraim desires an even greater mitzvah. And you have no menucha or an hashgate until you do an even bigger mitzvah. And therefore, the greatest mitzvah in the world is Talmud Torah. So when a person learns, after he learns, he may feel satisfied. God will send down a ruach that will not rest until you learn even more. And then when you learn more, God will send down another ruach that has desire for more mitzvahs. And sometimes you see a tzaddik, a gadol, and you say, what in the world, how does he do that? How does he learn so much? How does he accomplish so much? The man is possessed. I don't know, is he possessed? And the answer is yes, he's possessed. He's possessed for good. The man is possessed. That's the way of the world. But says the Gaon, it works the same way on the flip side. Because if the greatest mitzvah is learning Torah, the greatest sin is idling away time and just nonsensical chatter. And after you spoke about the price of tuna fish for a half hour, a ruach will come and it will not rest until you analyze some other nonsensical issue for even more time. And then you will have more of a ruach and another spirit that will not have any respite until you talk even more. So there's no physical pleasure from talking. There's no sensation that you have like when you eat or engage in other pleasure. But there is this mystical direction where when a person does a mitzvah, a spirit comes and doesn't allow a person to be settled unless he accomplishes even greater mitzvah. And conversely, lara, in terms of idle conversation, chatter, dvarim, betelem. This is the concept of mitzvah, goyreres mitzvah, va'avera, goyreres avera. But now I would like to share with you what I humbly believe is one of the most important dimensions of mitzvah, goyreres mitzvah, and avera, goyreres avera. The pasuk says in this week's parsha, ki sivne bayis chadash, you're going to build a new house. Ve'asisa ma'akeh legagecha, you will make a roof, you will make a fence for your roof. Or, as they say in the Olam HaYeshivos, V'asisa Maika L'gagecha. If you ever hear in Yeshiva Lai talking about a Maika, now they're talking about the word Ma'akeh. If they lane it that way, you have to correct them. But if they're just talking and learning, they may pronounce it that way. You got to make a fence. Why? V'loyisasim damim v'veisecha. You don't want there to be blood in your house. Ki yipol hanoifel mimenu, because it will fall the one who has fallen from it. So Rashi's troubled. Why does it say that he will fall the one who has fallen? He didn't fall yet. Why do we call him fallen? Should say because someone who will fall may fall from it. Why do we call the person who will fall the one who has already fallen? So Rashi says the answer is, because if you don't put up a fence, technically speaking, the guy who falls, it's not your fault. I caused him to fall. God decreed he should fall. Imagine, you know, the person who owns the roof is taken to court, and the judge says, why didn't you put up a fence? Some Pliny fell down. He said, what? Pliny fell down? Hakobi de Shamayim. God decreed he should fall. What do you want from my life? Well, the judge says you should have put up a fence. Why should I put up a fence? Only If he wasn't supposed to fall, he wouldn't have fallen. And if he fell, that means God decreed he should fall. What do you want me? Why are you busting my chops? Says Rashi, no. This person who fell, he was worthy to fall. Nevertheless, Hashem brought about his death through you. Because God brings merit through the medium of the meritorious. And God brings detriment through those who are detrimental. Which means as follows. When this person falls and dies, of course God decreed that he should fall and die. So why does a person who didn't put up the roof, why is he liable? Because when God wants to bring about disaster to someone who disaster was supposed to happen to, God is looking for an eligible medium, an eligible candidate to bring it about. And when a person is negligent, they basically are waving their hand, "Hey God, I'm a chayev, I'm a negligent person. I would like to be eligible to be your agent, to be the medium and the shliach to bring about bad things. So even though it was supposed to happen to the guy anyway, but the reason it happened through you is because you did something wrong. You were negligent by not putting up the fence." On the other hand, the pasuk says, the Gemara says, "Megalgalin zechus al yedei zakai." God brings about merit through the meritorious. What's that doing here? What's that doing here? Who's meritorious in this pasuk? The guy didn't put up a fence. The Ion Yaakov says, well, conversely, let's say, if someone does put up a fence, then there won't be spilled blood. And then it will come out that if someone ever went up to your roof and didn't die, you were the one who saved him. So after 120, the guy goes up to Shemaiah and says, "God, I would like reward for saving the life of Pliny." So the Malachim said, "What are you saving the life of Pliny? Pliny wasn't supposed to die." "No, of course Pliny wasn't supposed to die. Of course Pliny, it was decreed that he should be saved. But God was looking for an eligible person to bring about the salvation of Pliny. And when you were responsible, and you did the responsible thing, and you put up a fence, you were saying, 'God, God, I'm a good guy. Can I be your agent to save Jewish lives?'" God said, "Yeah, you're my man. You're my man. And after 120, you're going to be rewarded with saving a life." "What do you mean? But the person wasn't supposed to die." "No, it was decreed he wasn't supposed to die. But God was looking for a few good men, and you became one of them." How? By doing the zechus of putting up a fence. So what do we see from here? We learn another aspect of mitzvah gereres, mitzvah. Dear friends, do you think a person in life could just do mitzvahs? You think he could just do mitzvahs in life? "Yeah, I'll go put on tzitzis. I'll go learn Gemara. I'll go help somebody with something. I'll go give tzedakah." You think he could just do mitzvahs? A lot of things are needed to do a mitzvah. You want to learn Gemara? You know how many people don't know about this year? You know how many people maybe weren't feeling well, they couldn't come on this year? You know how many people, they didn't have time to come to this year? You have to be zoiche to do a mitzvah. You have to be eligible to do mitzvahs. You have to, Hashem has to select you to have opportunities to do mitzvahs. Let's think about the guy who's putting on tzitzis in this week's parasha. You know how many things he had to do to get a pair of tzitzis? He had to see a bird on the road, do shiluach hakein. By doing that, God said, "You know what, let me give the guy opportunity to buy some real estate." So he bought a house. Now he has the opportunity to put up a fence. Oh, he put up the fence. God said, "Let me get him an orchard." Oh, he got an orchard. He doesn't plow. He doesn't plant klayim. Oh, he doesn't plant klayim. Let me give him a cow and an ox. He doesn't plow with them. God said, "Let me give him a nice clothing so he can wear tzitzis." I have a question. Why didn't the guy put on tzitzis in the beginning of the story? He's walking down the street. He sees a bird that needs shiluach hakein. Why didn't he put on tzitzis then? The answer is circumstances in life did not afford him the opportunity to wear tzitzis until he became the Zakai. That God said, okay, he has now elevated himself. I would like him now to be given additional opportunities to do mitzvahs. From here, we're learning an unbelievable principle. Don't think in life, you can say, okay, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm going to go do mitzvahs. You need to be given opportunities in life. And in order to get the opportunity, you need to be deserving of it. And in order to be deserving of it, you need to start by doing small mitzvahs. And when a person does a small mitzvah, God says, okay, this person is now zakai. He is, we call innocent or meritorious. Let me use him to bring about greater mitzvahs in the world, greater zechusim in the world. This is a principle of megalgalin zechus al yidei zakai. You see, mitzvah goyreres, mitzvah works, that by doing a small mitzvah, you become a zakai. Once you become a zakai, now it can give you and afford you opportunities to mekaye more mitzvahs. You know, we think we're going into the Yamim Naram, and we say, okay, I did a few things wrong this year. Let me try to clean them up, and then I'll be good. You know, I think I could take care of it in 2 days Rosh Hashanah, 1 day Yom Kippur. And Rabbeinu Yonah reveals to us that wiping away sin is not the only avodah of the Yom Naram. Don't think the only thing you need to pray for is Hashem should forgive you. More important than praying that Hashem should forgive you is to pray that Hashem should want you. You hear this? We need to pray that Hashem should want us, that Hashem should want our mitzvahs, and that Hashem should give us opportunities to do mitzvahs, and that Hashem should afford us chances in life to be His shliach to accomplish the chliyos. You need to be a zakai for Hashem to be megalgal zchus al yadcha. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva, V'oid yispalo baal tshuva. The baal tshuva should also pray, El Hashem, limchois ka'av pashav, to wipe out like a cloud your sins, v'cha'anan chatoisav. But the baal tshuva should also pray, Sheyach poitzbay, that God should want you, v'yirtsehu, and find favor with you, v'ye'aser lo'im, being treated by you, kasherim lo'ichata. The mashal I like to give is, let's say, you know, somebody insulted you. Let's say you had a good friend. You used to go out for lunch. Once a week, you would go out to the shop and eat together and schmooze together and enjoy each other's company, and he insulted you. He invited you, he made a wedding, he invited you to the chuppah. Chuppah? I thought I was your best friend. He really hurt your feelings. So he calls you, he apologizes, very nice. The next week he said, hey pal, you want to go out to the shop for lunch? You say, no thanks. So what do you mean? I thought you were meichel me. I was. What, you didn't mean it? No, I was meichel you, believe shalem. So why don't you want to go out to the shop? I was meichel you, I don't hold it against you, I don't want you to get punished, but we're not friends anymore. So just because Hashem forgives our sin, doesn't necessarily mean He wants us. You know, we daven, Al tashlicheini mefanecha v'ruach kodshecha al tikach. Man, we say, Hashem, don't cast us away. What does it mean, don't cast us away? It means, even if you've forgiven us, we want you to want us. Because says Rabbeinu Yonah, ki yitachein, it's possible, liyos ha'avay nislach, that the sin is atoned for, v'niftem and hayisurim, and a person is redeemed from tribulations, when we call gezeron, from every decree. V'ein l'ashem chefetz bay, God doesn't want you. U'mincha lo yirtza miyadai. And God is not desirous of your offerings. V'sa'avas hatzadikim, the desire of the righteous. Min ha'hatzlachais, from the greatest successes in this world. is lahafek ratzoin me Hashem, is to gain goodwill from God, v'sheyach v'itzbahem, that God should want you. One of the greatest hatzlachos in this world is that God should want you. Because if God wants you, and there are good things to do in this world, He'll use you as the vehicle to accomplish them. Because in order to do mitzvahs, you can't just do a mitzvah. You know, you see people who did great things. You can't just do them. You have to be zoicha to be able to do them. You have to be a zakai in order for Hashem to be megalglin z'chus al yadcha. Comes the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Aruch HaShulchan reveals mamish a davar nifla ad ma'id. He says, then if you want to know why, if somebody killed b'shoigeg, if they're a general and they could save Jewish lives, we don't allow them to leave the Arei Miklat, is think about what this guy did. The guy killed b'shoigeg. So you say, well, it's not his fault. He didn't do it intentionally. Yeah, but if it happened through him, then on some level, he was not a zakai, he was a chayav. And if he was a chayav, then he says, well, let me leave the Arei Miklat to save Jewish lives. We say, pal, you think you could just save Jewish lives? You know what kind of zchus it is to save a Jewish life? You know how meritorious you need to be zoicha to save life? We say, pal, if you brought about someone's death, then it is improbable that you will be successful in saving other people's lives. Because in order to save someone's life, Hashem has to be megalgalin zuchus al yadcha. But it seems like, we don't know, maybe you did tshuva, but right now it seems like you're not the zakai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be megalgal zuchus al yadcha. This is such an important principle. Because not enough to daven to Hashem, Hashem forgive my many sins. But one needs to daven to Hashem, Avinu Malkeinu, Kasveinu B'Sefer Zechuyos, write us in the Book of Merit. You know what that means? Hashem, please reckon me a zakai, someone who's meritorious. Because I want to be, I'm waving my hand, I'm raising my hand, I'm saying, Ribbono Shel, if you have mitzvahs to be done, I would like to be eligible to do them. You can't just do mitzvahs. You have to be eligible to do mitzvahs. You can't just wake up and go, okay, today I'm going to do a lot of mitzvahs. You need to have a zechus to do mitzvahs. And that's something you could pray for. Avinu Malkeinu, Kasveinu B'Sefer Zechuyos. Rav Matasiel Salomon, Hashem should send him Refuah Shleima, cites Rav Daniel Movshevitz, the Rashiva of Kelm, who would say that even though this is from the shortest, if not the shortest tefillah we say in the Avinu Malkeinu, but in a sense, it's the most important tefillah we say. You say, Ribbono Shel Olam, please, I know that in this world, you can't just do mitzvahs. You need to be worthy to have the zuchus to do a mitzvah. Avinu Malkeinu, Kosveinu B'Sefer Zechuyos, I would like to be written in the Book of Merit. I would like to be eligible for greatness. Eligible to be able to accomplish Zechuyos. The Aruch HaShulchan says, someone who killed B'Shoigeg, we never allow him to leave the Arei Miklat. But Klal Yisrael needs him. You're right, we need him. But he's not going to be able to do it. It's not going to work out. He will not. He doesn't have the merit to be the instrument to bring salvation for the Jewish people. And this is our tefillah. It's a heart-wrenching tefillah. Avinu Malkeinu, Kasveinu B'Sefer Zechuyos. So Parshas Kiseitse, that has more mitzvahs than any other parsha, it's also a program, it's a handbook of how to be Mekayim mitzvahs. You got to start small. And there are many dimensions of mitzvah geres mitzvah. Number one, Rabbeinu Yoina, you're training yourself to go beyond your comfort level for Hashem. Rav Yosef Gektilya, each mitzvah is like a rung in a ladder that propels you to the next mitzvah. The Maral, the Rav Yosef Yaivitz, The mitzvahs are one body, so perforce, by doing one, you're already embracing all of them. The Gra is a fourth pshat, that when you do a mitzvah, it creates a ruach mimaroim and is not satisfied until you do another one. But the fifth approach that we've uncovered is the way mitzvah goyreres mitzvah works is megalgalin zechus al yedei zak. When you do a small mitzvah, so to some degree you become a zakai. You're now eligible for greater zechuyos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow us all to be considered before Him as zakoim. V'sheyach boitzbanu v'yeyoser lanu v'al tashlichenu milfanecha v'ruach kodshecha al tikach mimenu. Thank you very much, everyone. I wish you all a wonderful week. I want to remind everyone at 4:30, we learn the Sefer Tzipisa Yeshua of the Chafetz Chaim. 4:30 Monday through Wednesday. Tzipisa Yeshua of the Chafetz Chaim. 4:30 p.m. Same channel. Have a great day.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.